Last time on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Rising from her seat, Grand Duchess Triaterisia dons her hat and leans over the table. She arches an eyebrow before speaking. I know their names. The wizard from Geb is Parsis. The Nexian wizard is named Ibrium.
She wants to give it away to everybody.
To even the playing field?
Yeah, so give everybody WMDs.
This is a terrible idea.
It's a horrible idea.
This does not seem like a wise idea.
So you need outlaws to take care of it.
Any chance he gets.
Be.
Duh.
Well, at present, we know very little about Parsis or Ibrium, so the trail ends with Loveless. In order to use the pyronite formula, the trio will need large quantities of the necessary reagents to craft the explosives. Anyone wearing a shield marshal uniform who is also brandishing a broken heart of some kind is on the take.
Kill on sight.
Hootie Who has been cast. Yeah.
No, save that. You're supposed to save Hootie Who.
What do you need?
I now need an athletics check from all of you.
No!
Not athletics!
Yes, athletics.
The only one.
I did PE.
Well, we had two pass, so as long as it doesn't critically fail, I think
I don't
we're
think
okay.
She's
31.
Oh, okay.
31!
She's joking.
What was the sad face for?
I was doing math.
She had to do math. Yeah. Because you all just leveled up.
Yay! Woo! Let's go!
Level 8, and you see two doors on the wall opposite you, and we'll find out what happens next week.
Can't wait.
Now, a new episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast, where this week's opener is the third reference to how unfunny the Big Bang Theory is.
Oh,
Johnny Galecki, you deserve better.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
I really don't like that show.
Yeah.
No way.
Is this really? Our third time?
Yeah. Third.
It is.
Bashing that show?
Maybe the fourth time on the show, but the third cold open.
It's definitely the third cold open because I wrote them all down.
Is it bashing if it's deserved?
That's deep. That's deep.
That's the question.
It's just accurate criticism at that point,
I think.
Maybe, yeah.
I think so.
How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Amazing.
No one's watched The Big Bang Theory, so everyone should be in a good mood.
I want to be honest here.
With an appropriate humor.
I fell asleep to a few episodes before. Started them, wanted to get into it, and then woke up.
I've never seen a full episode.
So you didn't start it with the intention to fall asleep? No. I was like, okay, let's see what this is about.
Okay.
Yeah. Outro.
Song logs.
It's my Harry Potter. Harry Potter does the same thing.
Oh, no, you're in the wrong company.
What?
Well, the video game got the new Harry Potter video game.
Yeah.
That thing is transcendent. But
yeah, that's Assassin's Creed, but with wands.
But the movie... My gosh.
I watched them all through once.
Get out of here.
We're not ragging on Harry Potter. We're ragging on the Big Bang Theory.
I don't think it's a rag, necessarily. Some movies are good nappers.
Man. Feels, and Harry Potter's not one of them.
I'm just saying different strokes for different folks.
No.
Every Marvel movie, melatonin. I've not made it through a single one.
Every single one?
A Sunday afternoon, putting on Captain America, let's go. That's a good nap, bro. It's a good nap.
Brittany and I recently watched Dune 2 in the theater.
Jolly.
And that was phenomenal.
I still haven't watched Dune 1 yet since our last episode.
It's been a whole week.
I know.
What have you been doing?
Watching Formula 1.
Watching Formula 1.
The movie? Or like the actual?
No, like actual Formula 1, but then also there's a documentary, and I've been catching up on that.
Did you watch Gran Turismo?
That's my favorite movie of all time right now.
It's a phenomenal movie. I was really impressed.
I went into it thinking like, oh, it's going to be just a little video game movie, but no.
No.
Are we talking about...
It's incredible.
The Clint Eastwood movie?
No, it's Gran Turismo.
That's Gran Torino.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Turismo.
That's an excellent movie.
Don't make me laugh about
Gran,
it.
Other Gran Turismo.
That's Gran Torino. We're talking Gran
Turismo.
It's pronounced chorizo.
Yeah.
It's a grand sausage.
Chorizo.
Delicious. Yeah. It's a grand spicy sausage.
I don't like your joke, but I like that it's about
food. You love my joke. You love my joke. Don't you lie to me.
But I do really love that movie. It's got a little bit of everything. And I can never remember his real name, but Hopper from Stranger Things.
David Harbo.
David Harbo. I'll let you guys fight over this.
Harbo.
David Harbo. His name is. He's incredible David in Harbo. It. Yeah.
He is.
He's the coach of the kid, right?
Yeah. He's the chief engineer
of the of the team.
Look at this guy. He's freaking, his tail starts wagging.
I just watched the movie.
Yeah. So good.
It is good.
Everyone should go watch that movie. Yeah, it's like fun. After this episode.
It's really
fun.
We're 2 minutes in and I'm ready to segue because...
It's your code open. I don't know what you want us to do.
Well, I wanted to talk crap to like, what about the Big Bang Theory for at least 10 minutes. Why? But you guys shifted immediately.
Well, I was thinking, like, what other shows have I been watching? Because I don't want to talk about the Big Bang Theory. Fair. Because I don't watch it.
No.
I want to, like, what are the things I have been watching? So Formula One, that's what you guys get.
Modern Family.
Formula One.
That's a great show.
I watched that for a long time, but I didn't finish it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The later seasons are a little bit... Because they end up switching writers and stuff, and they had like a 3-year break or whatever while they switched networks. And
so I watched it before the break, yeah. And I loved the show.
I still like the way the last two seasons tie up all the character storylines and stuff. Man, what a great show.
Yeah.
So funny.
No what Parks and Rec, show. But you know.
I reloaded The Wire.
You know what? I've never watched it. I need to watch that.
What?
Oh, you know what? Last week we were joking around about who everybody looks like.
Stop it.
Andre Brower.
Who's Andre
How
Brower?
Did he not get on the...
I got to Google
he's
this
the, He's Captain Holt from the 99, and he was on The Wire.
I'm like 50 pounds heavier than that guy.
And no, 50 years younger and you know, and alive, rip Andre Brower.
Right.
Oh, yeah, an amazing thank talent. You. Thank you. He was dope.
Yeah, you look like...
Nothing, right?
I don't see it.
You see, don't come see on. It?
No.
Come on, sorry. Bro. We have eyes, have a nose, we have lips.
I only watch...
No, when you have short hair and no facial hair...
But Andre Brower has like big jowls.
Big jowls, baby. Big jowls.
Duvall definitely does not have jowls. Jowl free.
I hope I never get jowls. Please, jowls, don't come hang out with me.
Like if Andre Brower was a handsome devil.
Wow.
That'd be Duvall.
So.
You a handsome dude.
As we were saying.
Just trying to get into character.
No, for, I appreciate it.
Some of these, you know, Wild West clockwork cowboys you guys are going to no doubt meet soon.
Who have you been studying voice-wise to get into character?
I've been watching a lot of clips of Saoirse Ronan on TikTok and stuff.
Sacha Baron Cohen?
No. Saoirse Ronan.
No clue who that is.
Me neither. He's making up stuff.
She's a phenomenal actress.
She?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. She's a wonderful Irish accent. But she does a lot of like accent work because she's so Irish that to do anything other than an Irish person, she has to do like a lot of voice work. So she's just an incredible talent.
I'm eager to hear what you bring.
Florence Pugh is another amazing actress that does like tons of accent work that's like you can't really tell, you know, they can skip in and out of different accents.
Oh wow,
no clue who that is either.
Me neither.
You don't know who Florence Pugh is?
Nope.
I'm sure you do.
If you showed me a picture,
Black Widow.
I and, did see that.
And her and Natasha's sister Yelena is Florence.
Yeah, I saw it Pugh. Once and it was at the drive-in movie theater and it wasn't dark out
yet. So you didn't really see it then?
No, you could barely see the screen. It wasn't late enough yet.
Drive-ins are great.
Mm-hmm. But they don't start the movie sales so late.
Just don't bring your kids.
Go. Don't. Yeah, leave your kids at home.
Best time to go to the drive-in is December 18th.
Oh, gosh.
And when you could start the movie at 5 p.m., but it's freezing
outside. That's true.
So what do? You go in the summer, you're watching a movie at 10 p.m. is when you're starting a movie.
Which I'm okay with that normally, but like... I don't know, just when you put two back-to-back and now movies are 3 hours long again.
Yeah,
and man. It's, all of a sudden the sun's coming up and you're like, well, I guess it's time to go home from the theater.
Gotta go to work now.
Yeah, we should go on like Wednesday nights. It's terrible.
When Brittany and I left Dune, it was dark out. When we went into the theater, it was light out. When we were walking out, we were joking about how our favorite thing in the summer is when you can go to the movies and then leave and it's still daylight because you feel like you've stepped through a magic portal.
You get those matinee prices, too.
Man.
Brittany is here.
Hello.
Hey.
I did fall asleep in Dune.
Yeah.
But I'm still...
Boo.
But
it was during all the, like, political intrigue parts.
And I'm still recovering from the plague that I had.
Oh, that's right.
We had a nap.
You had scurvy, right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, scurvy.
I'm not sure what it was.
Eat your fruit.
Yeah, eat one orange. Yeah. You'll be good.
Yeah. My teeth were all getting loose.
Oh, man.
That's how I know when I need to eat some fruit. I'm like, ah. Start wiggling the teeth around.
By the way, I hate that movies are so long these days. I feel like you should be able to put it in 90 minutes. That's all you get.
If you can't tell a story in 90 minutes.
90 minutes, there are exceptions.
There's definitely exceptions. I'll say that. That's true.
I'm just saying.
But I will say there's definitely exceptions. But I just watched Equalizer 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Great movie.
Love me some Equalizer.
Yeah.
But there were so many scenes of just walking up and down stairs and look and walking down hallways. I was like, skip, skip, skip. I literally was fast-forwarding and hitting the 15-second button like 4 or 5 times, and he's still walking up and down the stairs.
Yeah, what's he doing up and down those stairs?
I was like creating dramatic tension, adding minutes to the movie. I don't know. It didn't help the situation.
He was in extreme pain throughout the entire movie. Not the whole movie. All the transitions of him going up and down stairs also told the story of him
unnecessarily long.
This
like,
we
don't have all day. I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Or like a Rocky montage. Right.
Yeah, it wasn't like, if it was a montage, that'd be great. But it wasn't like that. It was boring.
I'll tell you what I sat through last night on the in-home movie night with my wife, The Color Purple.
The new one?
They made a new one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. 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 You had Steven Spielberg.
Right. Who crafted the first one.
What else do you need? Why do we need to do this again? And then it was a freaking musical.
Oh, I can't do it. I cannot do musicals. Fam.
And it wasn't a musical that had arch like, oh, there's a time here for song. No, it was like, you know what? Song! Guess what else? Song!
Yeah.
Huh.
They had dialogue to get you from song to song.
There was no plot. There was no plot, no story. I was
of
like
a pre-established movie.
Of a movie that's already there.
Something that already
exists.
Two hours
and 25 Ooh. Minutes.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Of wasted existence.
Of a musical.
Of a bruh.
Nope.
This is why I don't want to watch the new Mean Girls.
It's a musical?
It's a musical.
They made it a musical. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
I don't
why are they trying to make Fetch happen?
Just going to throw this out there. I don't think we needed the first one.
I can't agree with you.
Why don't you throw yourself out?
Yeah. I can't agree with you there.
I'm getting a slow clap from one other person in the room.
Can't agree with you there. You gotta watch it for its depth, bro.
It's depth.
It's, what? Yeah. There's social commentary.
There is. That's true.
There's so many. As a human resources professional, I've seen these things play out.
I know. I'm just saying.
In real life,
I don't want to see a movie about that. So good.
There's a burn book.
The ugliest part of humanity.
So good.
Phenomenal.
Let's just make a movie about the ugly side of humanity.
And the fact that truth will out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Teenage girls
Get
are terrible.
Get out of here. You guys last week are arguing about LeBron James, and now you're agreeing with him on this?
This is why we're friends.
Get out of here.
Here's a concept. I know it's 2024, and we're all supposed to either agree 100% with each other or murder each other.
Yeah.
Those are the only two options.
But Duvall and I disagree on who the greatest basketball player is.
Okay.
And we agree that Mean Girls is a phenomenal movie.
Great movie.
And you know what? We're still best friends because that's what human beings do.
Yep.
By the rules of 2024, I now have to kill you both.
We have to fight to the death. And if we don't, he's going to take us both out.
Oh, man.
You know what sucks about all that? I believe him.
Yeah.
Believe that he could. Believe that he will.
You know what we're involved in now is we're involved with Love is Blind.
Oh, man.
Love is Blind.
If you're not watching that show, you're missing out.
No.
I can one-up
Phenomenal.
You with that one.
Say it.
Love on a Spectrum.
There it is.
Yeah.
Come at me, bro.
That show will destroy you.
That
show will destroy you. That gives you hope for humanity. It does.
Wrecks you right in the soul.
It does.
It's really, really good. It's really, really good.
I think Love is Blind is the opposite of that.
Or the same. I suppose it depends on your outlook. But yeah. Well, now we have we've gone through our opening, so
I feel better. I feel like I got more
I know,
my chest.
Right? Now we're all fired up, and you know what? It's time to do. It's time to talk about level 8.
Yeah,
buddy, you guys
level
hit
8.
It. It's an even level. I don't know why I stopped talking for that audio.
I know,
because I need
but
to hear
I
this
love
regal
it.
Sound.
I know, it's such a fun like audio clip, and every time I hear it, I'm like, ooh, everyone get quiet for the clip.
The
it's
king and queen have arrived.
Level 8, an even level, so no new spell levels, but a lot of depth inside your class.
Yeah.
That's what you have to look forward to at level 8. So I'd like to just hear from you guys. General things that change, of course, the standard DC for tasks is now 24.
Ooh,
so
wow.
When we're in a situation where you guys are just generally trying to search for something, and I ended up adding the DC adjustments chart for you guys to review to see how I make the decisions I make. So if a task is easy, very easy, or incredibly easy, the DC goes down, right? And if it's hard, very hard, or incredibly hard, the task goes up.
You made that sound like you're just making it up. No, you're actually playing by the rules.
No, I'm playing by the rules. Follow, yeah. That's right. So I start with 24 for your level. A simple task or a standard task is DC 24. The reason for that, I mean, you guys are throwing around plus 20. Brittany has a plus 20
I think
on her
the
nature
only
skill.
One with a plus 20.
That is insane.
That is wow.
There's some. I've seen some plus 18s and plus 16s on you guys' skill lists.
Yeah,
we got some good ones.
A 24.
Not plus 20, though. No.
A 24 is typically you're rolling an 8 to get a success. And an 18 or higher is a crit success. So there's a 15% chance that you're going to have a crit on every one of these dice rolls. So that's where.
Love that.
That's where this DC comes from. Math. And then also.
I think you overestimate my rolling ability.
Well, there's that. I am wearing my Dice Giveth and Dice Taketh Away t-shirt today. We do get more daily spells and more spells of the level you already are at. So there's new level 4 spells coming into play at this level. But let's hear from everybody. Who wants to start? Do we have anyone eager to discuss their changes?
I'm eager so that I don't forget them. I'm gonna
fire it off.
I'm gonna go through them the way Hero Lab had me update them.
Okay.
So starting with my psychic class, I'm Darn Iru.
Hello. We have new listeners jumping in.
That's
at the
true.
Beginning of season 3. So
my character name is Darn Iru, and my name's Greg. I like long walks on the beach. And
Pisces.
My
playing furry characters.
I'm an asparagus. That's my astrological sign.
That's why you smell funny. Anyway,
my psychic side, I got for my class feat, I got Dark Persona's Presence.
Ooh. Which that's gotta be illegal.
It's definitely not illegal. It's an 8th level feat. And the thing that's cool about it is it gives me if you guys remember back to Julius Claws of Time and his aura that he had. When my psyche is unleashed, I actually emanate around me an aura, a 30-foot emanation when I unleash my psyche. And anyone who's standing in it has to attempt a will save against my spell DC, or you become frightened at different varying degrees. Okay. So it's kind of cool. And it only happens while my psyche is unleashed, but it's just something cool to have because I didn't know we ever got emanations like that. So that's cool. I also, for my 4th level spell, I took an amazing spell called Phantasmal Killer.
Oh, I know this spell.
This is nuts when I was reading through it. So it says you create a phantasmal image of the most fearsome creature imaginable to the target. Only the spell's target can see the killer, though you can see a vague shape of the illusion as it races forth to attack. The effect of the killer is based on the outcome of the target's will save, which means I got to get better at bon mot.
Bon mot.
Dropping some of those will saves.
Get those bon mots out.
If you fail, you take 8d6 mental damage and are frightened too.
Brutal. Ooh. That's just a failure.
That's just a failure.
What's the crit fail? Double damage and then frightened 3?
The crit fail is the target is so afraid it might die.
Oh!
It must also attempt a fortitude save. If the target fails, it dies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dies. No save.
On a successful fortitude save, the target takes 12d6 mental damage and is fleeing until the end of its next turn and is frightened 4.
Jeez. Oh,
12 this is ridiculous. Yeah.
Do you have enough dice over there?
Heck yeah, I Fantastic do. I got a whole bag of them.
I know. I got it on all my enemies.
Dang.
Right.
So if you do get a success, you still take 4d6 mental damage and you're frightened 1. So it's still beneficial to get a...
That's amazing.
Even on a success. So that is an exciting spell. For my rogue side of things, I took, for my class feat, something that I cannot wait.
Do you want to keep it a secret?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's something that happens in the front lines of Batal, which is
the enemy.
French for battle.
Oh, I don't think any of that's
you
true.
You definitely kiss the enemy.
It totally is.
Oh yeah, but it's really cool to be up front in all the action.
It's called the cat smooch.
I went master in stealth because I wasn't master in stealth.
Master.
I know. I prioritized acrobatics to do the whole tumble through thing in levels previous.
You're gonna be a regular Beverly Hills ninja.
Yeah, you do get a skill feat at level 8 as well. So that's a fun.
Yes, we get a skill feat, and I picked one that seems like not that big a deal, but Kip Up.
Oh, the reaction to stand up without a
free action. Free action to stand up without triggering reactions.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Shawn Michaels. He just zoop.
Yeah. But which I figure would be kind of come in handy when I'm knocked prone for whatever reason.
Or which happens a lot.
It seems to happen more often than it should. But that's pretty much my level right there.
Nice.
Not pretty much. That is my level.
Jordan?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Man, so Varg is even more tanky. I have 130 HP now with Varg. Yeah,
130 HP?
Yeah, dude. I'm rolling, I didn't get 20 like Brittany on some of my skills, but I'm 18 in athletics and crafting. I did take an extra skill, and I'm now trained in thievery.
Oh,
so nice. Hopefully I can stop having doors be blown in my face.
And you can disable device now.
Yes.
Nice.
That's handy, especially for a crafty inventor.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, very cool.
And also, historically, in our story, you've been in the front when things are exploding and we're the only person on opportunity to disarm something.
Exactly.
Like, that's one way to say
it. If you notice it, you guys are going to get an opportunity to disarm it.
Well, so like the Clockwork Sphinx. He was the only one close to it.
Right.
That would have been a perfect time for him to be able to do that, but yeah.
It would have been.
How did Kinfluencer change? Did he change at all? I don't care about Varg.
Kinfluencer's the attack steps. What's the word for it?
Map? Your multiple attack
points. Yes, thank you. Is now 17 on my first.
Plus 17 to hit?
Plus 17 to hit on my first.
Wow.
And then 12 and 7.
How is it 12 and 7? Please explain that.
Plus 17, plus 12, plus 7. It goes down by 5 for every attack.
Yeah, but mine are versatile, agile weapons. I'm 17, 13, and 9.
Yeah, it only goes down by 4 every attack.
For some reason, I thought it was the other way around. I'm crazy. I was like, man, that's amazing. How do I
get
that?
The sound of those numbers better?
I guess.
The higher numbers that you have.
That's so weird.
13. I was like, that's 12. I want 12.
Oh, I forgot which way the math goes.
It works.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's all right.
He's just excited. I'm excited.
I am excited.
And then for my inventor ability, I took Overdrive Ally.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I can target one ally, and in the rule book, how it works is I toss them one of my inventions that I keep in my pockets, or that Varg keeps in his pockets, and I share my overdriven ability with you. And
that's awesome.
The ally that I target deals extra damage equal to half my intelligence modifier.
What?
Oh, it's that's your amazing. Intelligence modifier.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. My intelligence modifier.
He has super high intelligence.
That's cool.
So I toss him a little gizmo, and then you're like, oh, yeah, I feel strong.
No. In my head, when I picture this, I picture Varg throwing a ball of junk at somebody. It hits them, and then it, like, starts growing and assembling itself into like more power.
Like that's an Iron Man glove.
Yeah, like an Iron Man type of thing. That's what it did in my mind, but
that's it.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah, so that's right.
hurry up.
For my grief. For my barbarian ability, I took follow up assault. So if I miss a strike, I can basically swing Kinfluencer back the other way to hit them.
And does it Is that like a reaction, or like what does that do for the action economy?
I have to find it first because it's not showing up. Follow-up assault does take an action. The requirement is when I use the previous action to strike and it misses.
Yeah.
The text says even in the face of failure, you press the attack. Make a strike with the same weapon, adding the effects of the backswing.
I forgot what backswing is.
Oh, the backswing trait.
Yeah.
And this is.
There's got to be some other benefit, like it doesn't
trigger your map.
So you can trigger map. Yeah.
You can use the momentum from a missed attack with this weapon to lead into your next attack. After missing with this weapon on your turn, you gain plus one circumstance bonus to your next attack with this weapon before the end of your turn.
And it's essentially, it makes it an agile weapon. Then, unless that says it doesn't affect the map,
it doesn't say it affects it.
That's cool then. Not as cool as it could be.
Love it.
Oh, well, while we figure out what is missing from that, what else do you got?
That's it.
Okay. We got Duval or Brittany.
I guess I'll go first. Okay. I'll go next. So Luton's now 86 hit points. And on the druid side, since she has incredible companion, Kal-El is now a savage companion.
Yes.
Savage. So he is size large.
He big kitty.
He's enormous. He can now do cat pounce, and he's up to...
Wait, what does cat pounce do?
Cat pounce. So he can stride and strike.
Yes.
As one action.
As one action. And if he's undetected, which we were kind of talking about this the other day, if I go in stealthily and he's undetected with me, he remains undetected until after the attack.
Nice.
So yeah, something to That's think about if I...
Off guard.
Or if you're ever in a situation where you aren't trying to detect magic, you can just be avoiding detection instead.
Right.
Or follow the expert with Greg.
Right, and sneaky. Since Duval and I can both detect magic, that's something I might start doing, just so I can use cat pounce.
Sure.
Undetected. So.
That's awesome.
Also, you have a higher perception. I think you have the highest perception in the group.
I have plus 16 perception.
You guys should definitely have her searching for danger.
Mm. Yeah.
Front lines.
Plus 16 perception?
With that giant cat, jeez, you could be riding him on the front lines for
that's
sure.
That's true. I do have the ability to ride him, so, which would look really funny since he's size large now. Yeah. He's four squares.
I'm sorry, is there something on your back?
It's literally like a cat sitting on a horse.
Yeah. So that's fun. So on the druid side, I have a new spell called Misty Memory, and I've started looking at more time manipulation stuff and adding that in. And so this uses water, and I'll just read it. It says, some say water holds memories or impressions of the past, and you can raise those memories to the surface to glimpse recent events. So imagine we walk in somewhere and we want to know what happened within the last 24 hours. It has a 24-hour time period. So I can pull up water and look and read the past and say there was, so-and-so was here.
That's
before.
Legit.
A mist rises from the target body of water, filling a 30-foot burst.
That's so awesome.
And any creature who is in the area can also observe the images. So I can just bring it up and we can all happened.
That's cool.
Is that awesome?
That's pretty awesome.
Now, a long time ago, Greg and I played this game called The Division.
Yep.
And we played it for a very long time. Did you play that too?
Yeah, it was in your party.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? BB-8 out.
BB-8
out. That's right. BB-8 out. Remember the moments when you would go through the dungeons in there and all the digital recreation using the surveillance software? That's what she can do.
That's awesome.
She can do with that water. Just with water mist.
What?
It's
like a holodeck.
Yeah,
Star Trek.
It's like some crazy.
That's awesome.
Minority Report memory reconstruction.
That's super going to come in handy.
Anyway, as a GM, I'm excited for that ability. So it lets me tell a cool story.
That's right.
So the other thing I took was a special ability. It's called What Could Have Been. Mm. And so rather than conjuring creatures...
Like when you do a summon?
I'm basically summoning an other Luton from... elsewhere in time, in alternate realities. And so it can be like a cool
you thought
Luton,
you were cool you're not
or like a troll Luton.
Yeah,
what?
It's like alternate reality
alternate reality Luton.
That fights what
that this? Fights
yeah
shut the front
for
door.
A minute.
Are you kidding me right now?
No, I'm dead serious. This is in replace of her summon, she can summon herself from another dimension.
Two tanks, y'all. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a mimic tier. She summons a mimic tier.
And I don't know.
But like a troll version of herself?
Yeah. It has blue and everything.
It has to be. I think it has to be.
Same moveset or whatever.
No, it can be a large size, I suppose. It doesn't really restrict it in the spell.
Yeah.
It just has all the same abilities that she has.
Yeah.
And the trick is that it's a summoned creature, so it still only gets the two summoned creature actions of a normal. So it has a little bit of a nerf.
So it works like a companion.
Exactly.
Okay.
In fact, it works in the place of a summoned creature. So instead of summoning a dinosaur,
she summons
herself from another
That's
dimension.
Awesome.
Yeah, That's and awesome. It has the other Luton would have a lot of the same abilities. There's a little adjustment here, and I'll have to... That's one of those things I'll have to you know, summon her and then.
But only different skills. It has different skills. That's it, though. Yeah. From reading the spell description, it's not different spells or different feats or different abilities. So.
Similar to me,
after
but.
After you play Starfield and you're like, ooh. Yeah. Other dimensional self? What?
And then on the sorcerer side, all I really did over there was I increased the prepared lightning bolt to level 4. So that one's a little beefier. The damage is...
Laser beam.
Wait a second.
4d12.
4d12. So 5d12 on the higher level version because it's heightened?
Yes.
Which means you can cast 8 lightning bolts a day now?
Basically.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Thor. It's Raiden. Yeah. Raiden over here.
I also took Bon Mom.
That's the sound it makes.
It's just going to go, we'll give it a or whatever it sounds.
So I now have a plus 20 to nature. I moved some skills around a little bit. I dropped animal lore just because I'm not using it at all. And then beefed up diplomacy. So I'm now expert in diplomacy. So I have plus 16, so that could be helpful. And religion. So I'm now trained in religion, plus 14 religion.
So
that's it.
Wow.
More versatility for Luton.
Yep.
Wow.
And here's Duval. Smile.
Yeah. So. Hi, I'm Duval Gibson. I play a character by the name of Kairos Duvalo. He's amazing. He's a Magus Oracle Shisk. So he's down with the Shisknisk,
yep.
If you will.
I will.
No way.
I will.
No? I
no?
will.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
Yeah, come on. All right, so I picked up a class feat called Capture Magic. In this class feat, when you resist a spell, you capture some of its magic for your own use. You enter Arcane Cascade stance using the triggering spell to determine what type of your Arcane Cascade it deals. And if I'm already in Arcane Cascade, which y'all know if you listen to this show, I walk around with that energy. You can instead amplify its effects temporarily until the end of your turn. You gain a plus 2 status bonus to the damage of your Arcane Cascade. So I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that. I'm going to use that.
That's awesome.
It's like going to Walmart, baby.
You can enter Arcane Cascade as a reaction. Or is that...
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Do you see the triggering effect?
Yeah, triggering effect.
Triggering effect is you succeed at your save against a foe's harmful spell. So don't come at me with no spells, bro. Yeah. Because I will survive. I picked up for my Oracle side, I picked up a Ranger dedication. Because I'm out here with my bow and arrow. And so...
This is crazy.
You become trained in survival. So I did that as well. And my skills. If you are already trained in survival, I don't think I was. You instead become trained in another skill of your choice. So I wasn't. So, and you become trained in Ranger Class DC. So yeah, I'm pretty awesome.
So is Kairos Duvalo Oracle Magus Ranger? Yeah. So we added another class.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
The real ability there is that you can use the Hunt Prey.
Yes. Hunt Prey, a plus 2 feature. Circumstance, 2 perception when you seek prey.
That's
and
awesome.
To survival. That would have came in handy when we were chasing freaking Mini-Me around. Yeah. And I heard that some of our Shum followers were excited that we didn't catch him. I heard rumor of that.
I like to see us fail.
I got some great feedback from the community.
I just heard a lot of shade.
You know?
Yeah.
Who people were... Oh, that was from just me.
No, you were adding to it.
But I think our fans like it when you guys are challenged.
Mm.
Because you're walking around with all these, you know, mythic tier abilities and
I did
and
get a couple
extra
people
classes and stuff and
throwing the that sus with how fast he was able to run.
Thank you.
But I did clarify, I was like, no, judging by his 25-foot speed, it just makes sense. So I was trying to explain how to catch up to people and do an action against them and then just fail a roll. That just lost my chance to do anything. So it's just a cat and mouse game.
There's a whole Reddit on it.
These are all Pathfinder GMs that came to you with that feedback?
No, Pathfinder they're Shum followers.
Oh, Shum followers.
Yeah, okay. Thunder Buddies.
Whoa.
So chill out, bro. So breathe on that. So, and then I picked up Innervation. Nope. Yeah. Innervation. This is allows me a 30-foot line. Extending a finger, like E.T., you fire a beam of negative energy that weakens the life force of any creature it touches.
Ooh.
Even out of that. Each living creature in the line must attempt a fortitude save. And if they fail, they take 4d8 persistent negative damage and become drain 1.
At first, I thought you said with your finger that your finger gets 30 feet long.
Extending.
I was like, let's go.
I don't don't want to play that game.
You poke him in the eye from 30 feet away.
Enervation is a classic TTRPG.
It's like the positive energy beam.
It's a negative energy beam.
Sorry, yeah.
It sounds positive. Enervation, because it sounds like a positive word. Mm-hmm. It's not. To be enervated is bad.
It sounds like a made-up word.
Yeah.
Most of these words are made up.
True.
All words are made up words.
And, yeah, that's Touche. Me. That's me.
Nice.
Well, what...
There's another.
There's more.
I picked up Robust Recovery. I forgot about that. And we definitely want to talk about this.
Robust Recovery.
Robust Recovery. You learned folk medicine to help recover from diseases and poison, and using it diligently has made you especially resilient. When you treat a disease or poison, or someone else uses one of these actions on you, increase the circumstance bonus granted in a success to a +4.
Whoa.
Oh, instead of a +2.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And if the result is a patient saving throw a success, the patient gets a critical success.
Oh, and it ups your success level by one step. That's fantastic.
The patient saving throw, yeah. So, you know, I'm just out here being MASH, doing my part.
We appreciate it.
I'd watch that if they made that movie again.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. You mean like made the show a movie, or was there a movie?
There was a movie.
There was a movie.
I didn't know there was
before
a movie.
There was a show,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's
before the show, there was a movie.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
And so give me that instead of another Color Purple. Give me MASH again with George Clooney.
Everything's green.
They would ruin it.
With only and only one person from the movie was in the show.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
and
how
it
you
was
do
still
it.
Still that successful, though.
And it was Radar.
Wow.
It was the only person who carried over from the movie into the show.
Who was a bit character, right?
Yeah. In the movie, he was just a side character. Yeah.
That's wild.
A little TV history for you.
TV history.
Because me and Scott are old.
We sure are. Well, that's not the only change that's coming with Level 8 and with Season 3.
Prove it.
I'm taking away, or not taking away, I'm removing all of the cards.
All the cards of what?
All cards all are gone?
Cards? All the cards.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Even Fumble Deck?
Fumble Deck.
No!
Even Crit Deck?
Crit Deck and Hero Point cards.
No cards.
I'm going to let you finish.
You're doing this under protest?
But I got my hand up.
I'm going to let you finish, but I want to say something.
I'm waiting my turn.
When you're done.
I will state my case so that you can have an educated opinion.
I feel like I got all the information
I need.
Go
for it. Build your platform. So I can tear it apart.
Fantastic.
You sit on a throne of lies.
The Fumble Deck, it throws a wild card in that has an impact on the outcome of encounters.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Good or bad, it changes the way that it should finish based on how the campaign and the encounter was designed.
Uh-huh.
So while they are entertaining and they are a lot of fun, I have thrown away more than I've used because they are irrelevant, or they do not apply, or they add some long-term character affecting ability to a monster, so it's pointless for you guys. You get a critical hit and it's like, oh, they're wounded.
It does nothing.
There's a lot of them in that deck that just do nothing. I don't like that, because if we're going to add something like that for flavor, I want it to enrich the experience, and instead it's like, oh, maybe half the time we enrich the experience. So the deck to me is, I don't know, it's kind of like having house rules when you play Monopoly. When you land on free parking, you get $500. No, you don't.
Right.
Like, we're done with that. I don't like to play that way. The hero point cards, I don't want to use those at all anymore, because I need you guys to use your hero points. And instead, we sit here with these cards and we go, ooh, play at the start of your turn. Select an untrained skill. You are now trained in that skill. That's not worth a hero point.
Yeah.
Take them
away from me.
And you guys are sitting there going, I need to wait until this is useful, and I will never use it. And then you end up failing a save, or missing an attack that was critical, or, you know, getting knocked over by Muglin instead of grabbing him with your athletics check. And then I got to hear about how Greg's mom didn't like the fact that Muglin was able to get away.
Greg used all his hero points, though.
Yeah, for the record, I feel like I'm totally down for getting rid of the hero point cards. But I will say, I think we've done a better job of rolling our hero points since Scotty D called us out.
That's
I think
true.
That was a great
Thanks,
call
Scotty
out.
D.
And I had part of this discussion with Scotty D about the balance of the game. And
yeah.
I am a Pathfinder purist. You guys all know this. Maybe it's a controversial decision, but I have a feeling that it will...
I like the crit cards is the only thing. Keep making your point.
No, it's okay. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
So I hear you on the hero points. I happen to agree there. Now, I think that it is very controversial to remove the critical fail deck, and I think we should leave it to the Thunder Buddies. on what we do there.
Okay.
Because those are awesome. I like those because you suck at them. When you get them, they're awesome. And so,
like when something bad happens to my monster?
Like when an NPC gets, like, I love that.
Here's the bummer, though, because I feel like the majority of the time when the crit fumble cards have been pulled for the NPCs, the results have been nothing. It would hurt a PC, but not an NPC. Now, when the crit cards, I think those, probably 70% of the time, it works every time. And it does do something to the NPCs. But the crit fumble cards have been kind of lame whenever Scott's got to
pull. Thank you guys for both reinforcing my point.
I like the crit card. I like the crit card ones. I don't like the fumble or the hero points.
And he likes the fumble.
Right. I like all those cards. Those that whole, you like all the that, whole all shebang, that over there. Huh? Yeah, keep all that. But I think we've gone on this journey with millions of people, and I think we should open it up to them.
Yeah.
For them to decide, the millions of them.
And if you're listening to this 10 years after it came out, you missed it.
Just know that we got rid of the cards. I love you guys.
It's my Nintendo.
I made this choice.
My mom doesn't want you here.
No, I made this choice for the Thunder Buddies to give them a consistent Pathfinder experience.
You're the GM, whatever.
I like it.
I'm fine with getting rid of the cards. I don't care.
Pound it. He pounded it, just for the record.
Hero point, please.
Yeah. No. You know what? You can have one.
You know what?
Also,
as long as they're giving out.
The sucking up to the GM for the hero points. Ooh. No.
If what? I could raise the cap to 4 for that extra,
we're not all here to feed your ego.
Suck
okay.
up to the GM point.
I mean, if I get more hero points out of the deal,
so that's you're on your own there. You're on an island there, hun.
No,
it's because she's married to you.
No,
that's true.
I come visit from my e-toll every now and then.
My e-toll.
That's okay because season 3 is also the gamesmanship season.
What the heck does that mean?
Oh, you'll see.
Gamesmanship?
Yeah, gamesmanship. That's always been Duval. See, Thunder Buddies, Duval has been doing a bit for the last year and a half.
What are we talking about?
Oh, God. Here we go.
That maybe we're not the best of friends.
What?
I haven't been in on the bit.
What?
When you guys pack up and leave, and I'm softly crying in my wife's lap... At the end of every session, saying, I don't think they don't like me anymore, my friends. They say mean things to me.
It's not an exaggeration.
Oh, the lap pillow is real.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I hearken back to a time when you said gamesmanship, baby, or something like that.
I said that?
Yeah.
You sound just like me.
I know.
LeBron James.
I can't wait to return the favor now.
Oh,
get some
okay.
gamesmanship. You
okay.
go in, and I'll be like Steph Curry.
Okay. Under Armour brand.
I just like a skillful player who plays by the rules of the game and develops his craft.
Are you saying that I don't play by the rules?
No, I'm Steph Curry versus LeBron James.
I'm where you're going with this analogy?
Yeah, I was
don't even
say,
know.
I mean,
don't even know. One of those guys has 40,000 points. The most ever in basketball history.
LeBron?
LeBron James.
A-Bron.
As my son calls him.
U-Bron?
A-Bron.
A-Bron, yeah. Yeah, and when Steph Curry has 35 years in the league, he'll have 40,000 points.
They're basically the same age, bro. They're the same age. Steph Curry's not 15. He's not gonna,
he does look rather
he does
young,
look 15.
Though.
I mean, that's because he uses lotion.
Is that his secret? Because I look like I'm 50 half the time.
Drop that skincare.
Start using some lotion,
yeah,
maybe.
Bro, I need to moisturize.
Some neem oil. Take care of that right away.
Rub some coconut oil on the whole dome.
Bro, you'll smell good.
Young it up.
You'll be greasy, though.
That's fine. I don't care.
Hold on.
It's all about the looks.
Fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Aerodynamics.
Got to be able to move.
Yeah.
Head's got to be able to keep up with the fish.
Yeah.
Walking around like a sail.
Gamesmanship. I can't wait to see the gamesmanship.
I'm just going to up my tactics, I think. I've been doing a lot of exploration into the advanced. Now you guys are level 8. I got to do something. I can't just come in and swing three times.
But the rest of the enemies do get harder, though.
Yeah. And by the way, have you heard of the Shenfall of 5?
But harder just means more hit points and more...
And impossible to hit.
Armor class.
Yeah. That AC, baby.
But when I started doing things like disarm and bon moting you guys and
bon mo
and those are fun noises for your ear holes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I want to bon mo something. Let's get into battle. Come on.
Well, you guys are in the bottom of a vault here. You've taken an elevator down, and a bunch of robotic clockwork horses have trotted off into their clockwork stable somewhere. And if you
just got a couple coconuts, you're banging them together.
Monty Python references, so? Y'all. Yeah. Google it. You're welcome.
Yeah.
If you turn your attention to Roll 20, you'll see the Shumfollow Five are all grouped up around a wagon there. Oh, wait.
Where's Kal-El?
Where's Kal-El? Hold on. Let me add him.
The room isn't big enough for him anymore.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, my gosh. He's huge.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Oh, good Lord.
Embarrassingly huge.
Look how good his icon looks.
Yeah, it's all in HD because it's four times the size of your icon.
He's got dreamy eyes.
Looks great on Roll 20.
I know. Ollie Bomb's eye work on Kal-El is fantastic.
There's a moose in here with us. Where did this thing come from?
Kal-El is now size large. Takes up a 2x2 square, which is larger than these stagecoaches. So I had to kind of offset him. Yeah. But I didn't want to add him to the map until without you guys all being here so I could catch
him. Oh, my gosh.
That reaction.
That was the right, that was the right
he's
call.
He's hilariously large.
Comically large. Take a picture Luton of this and post it online.
Next to him. The best part is Luton, like, next to him.
I could ride on his head.
Like, literally.
It's perfect. I love it.
That's so he funny.
Would swallow
you don't even ride on his back. You just sit on his bite. Nose.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a fun change. Trying to get him to move around. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight that is because I had to look up all the squeeze rules.
Yeah.
Because doorways are typically only 5 feet wide. Well, Kal-El is 5 feet wide. He just takes up this massive space with the size of his body and the length of his body. But I didn't want to put him in as a, you know, as a character that was one wide by two tall, because that's not how...
Oh, that's weird.
It's not how it works.
Yeah.
This is the space he occupies, right? That's the representation of his...
If he were to turn around in a circle.
Yeah, exactly. So he can get through a doorway. Any doorway that he passes through, just treat it as difficult terrain. Which means he needs an extra 5 feet of movement to go through a doorway. Because he has to go through slow. Or down a 5-foot hallway or something like that. So that's the simple way to look at the rule. And now you guys get to have fun with this horse-sized monster cat.
Yeah, I'll have to be careful not to get him in the way of things.
Yeah. Who also has 26 AC.
Wow.
And,
nice.
And now also hits on with a plus 16.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So almost. Oh, and what's his strength modifier now, Brittany?
Plus 5.
Oh, Jordan, what's Varg's strength modifier?
Only plus 4.
That's right.
Wow.
He's beefy.
Isn't that fun?
That's awesome.
It's insane. It is what it is.
This is why I wanted to keep him alive until
this was
this
the
level.
Moment here that she's been waiting for. Well, you're down in this vault. Why are we down in this vault? It was to go into a place called the Vault of Secrets, which you know is vault number 14 of these underground, like, archive and storage vaults. So what you're seeing here on the left of the room, or your right opposite you, is a number 14 etched on a door, and then a number 15 on the right-hand door. They're on the other side of this massive hangar for stagecoaches, and the room is empty. So what you need to do is gain access to this vault, which is where the offices of Angelique Lovelace is what is inscribed underneath Vault 14. Inside there, behind that door, the task you've been given by Phoebe and Grand Duchess Trieta Ricea is to dig up something in writing that you could use to prove Angelique Lovelace's nefarious plans, because we don't know what she's up to. What we do know is that she has a complete and assembled pyronite formula that was used from Kosawana's notes. We don't know where Muglin plays into any of this stuff right now, but Lovelace is the one that has been brokering this exchange with these two unknown players, right? This wizard from Nex and a necromancer from Geb. So you're looking for leads.
Well, we know who they are. We know their names.
You know their names, and that's it.
Yeah. Parsis and Ibrium. And we just, okay, so we need to find this evidence in her office.
And you hope that you can. in there. Don't worry though, it's not a library. it's an office space.
Ha ha.
Sure, we are all masters in library lore now.
Dewey Decimal System, baby.
Bring it back.
And also, once we're not supposed to linger. We need to get out pretty quick, is what Rietta told us.
Trietta.
Recita. Ricoli.
Brianna.
Brianna Ricoli.
Ricola.
Yeah, dude,
I turn control over to you guys.
You turn control over to us.
As you have the options to do whatever you'd like to explore this space.
I will continue to avoid the notice, so I'm sneaking around.
You are in exploration mode.
I'm detecting magics.
Okay. Does that mean that Luton and Varg are looking for danger?
Yes.
Looking for danger with my weapon out, if possible.
My weapons are shing shing.
Yeah, I detect magic the best with my weapon out.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Your arrow's like a divining rod.
Yes.
Yeah. For is danger.
I mean, if we want to get crunchy...
Well, I mean, this
maybe
is
maybe that was
podcast.
Why you guys chose that, because, well, what kind of components does detect magic have? Is it verbal somatic? Because if there's no somatic component, you don't need to worry about it.
It's, no, I don't see any...
Detection, manipulate, yeah.
Concentrate, detection, manipulate, arcane, divine, occult, and primal, 30-foot emanation.
If it has the manipulate trait, that's because manipulate. It is...
It's weird that it doesn't say somatic... Verbal or...
Oh, and you know what else is kind of interesting? You don't have this spell. You have it in your deck of cantrips, but you don't have it as an oracle or a magus spell.
I thought he did.
Nope.
Me too. Okay, then I'm just perceiving.
Yeah. So it does have to be Luton who detects magic, because Kairos doesn't have it. You're the only
he
one who
has
it
in his deck of cantrips?
That means he can only cast it once.
And
oh,
have
no,
it as
you
an
have...
Innate spell.
I'm sorry. You have detect magic as an innate spell.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say. And this is a spell. It's a two-action cast.
Yeah, and part of what you can do during exploration mode is regularly recast certain spells, like Detect Magic.
That's right. I think we talked about that.
And it is a somatic and verbal component spell, so you're kind of softly chanting to yourself to keep the spell going.
Mama say, mama sa, kamaku sa.
Yeah, it doesn't say
exactly what it is.
Somatic and... What was the other one?
Verbal.
It does not say that.
That's what's weird is it's just you're sending out a pulse and I don't see any of those qualifiers on it as a spell.
I think that it's fine if you carry your weapon.
Yeah.
I don't think that this somatic component should negate you from being able to just hold your bow.
I agree. I'm using my bow like a wand, like Harry Potter would go.
Or you can just one hand this and you have your bow in your other hand.
And then you're Professor X
Leviosa-ing
it.
Yeah, weapon out.
Accio.
Doing something to channel the magic, the magic words,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So the way that this comes out in my mind is you're speaking the spell power out, and then you're sort of pushing it into the areas that you want to detect the magic.
Yeah.
You don't need
like a Ghostbuster.
Exactly.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, so let's back up. Where do we know where the office is, or we're trying to find the office?
It's the bottom
left door. That you can see on the map.
Well, there's nothing else like in these what are these called? Trailers?
The
carriages?
Stagecoaches?
Is there anything like valuable in them? Or it would take a while to probably search through them. We don't have time for that.
So we need
so
to go
the
in.
Answer to both of those is yes.
Because we came here with gold, but I don't think we're... Whose gold is this,
we
by the way?
We could leave with more gold.
There's no gold. Where did you get the idea that there was gold? Because the stagecoach?
Because I just watched The Outlaws.
Yeah.
And the movie where they like grabbed all the money from three banks and we could rob one armored car. Yeah.
Stagecoach equals gold. I'm following
every time. No, this was the I can't remember why. They collected this stagecoach came in, was supposed to make stops and then go to the deposit where it's dropping all the money off.
Made no stops at all. Came into the city and then went straight to this vault, and whatever the contents are not up for grabs.
Varg is going to walk towards the office door.
Okay.
I'm right behind Varg.
I'm sorry. It's so ridiculous watching Kalov move.
He looks like a massive elephant. You know, what's interesting? You can't hear him.
No,
because his
silent.
Stealth skill is like plus 18.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
He has a higher stealth. Almost higher than Darnayru.
He has this plus 17 to stealth.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm more stealthy.
Oh, okay.
Imagine like a dire wolf.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a jaguar.
Yeah.
And it's also bigger than that. It's a Clydesdale.
Yeah, he's the size of a Clydesdale.
his damage went up too, didn't
it? Yes, it did. God, Jaws nice. Is plus 15 the first hit, plus 10, and then plus 5.
Yeah, yeah, but and what's then, the damage?
2d6 plus 8.
Plus nice. 8.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, 2d6 plus
8. So what, minimum crit, 10.
On a crit, he's adding 16 bonus damage piercing onto damage. Whatever the yeah. doubled roll amount is, which is usually awesome. A 7 on 2d6.
So he's got a higher chance of hitting and
can't wait till Kalo hits new record for damage in one hit.
Sorry, Varg.
Varg would like to check for traps.
He does have precision damage, too, by the way.
Nice.
If oh, you guys right. end up flanking with Kalo, he yeah. can add backstab to his attacks. Why not?
So cool.
Why not? You know what else he's got?
What?
A robotic bunch of axe. Coconuts. That he swings from yeah. his
let's just give it no. to
tied to his tail.
No, that would be cool. But
and it shoots magic.
And he's got a laser beam yeah. attached to his head.
I'd love to attach some sort of like armored tail piece that's like one of those
that'd be
like
so a bumpy, dope.
You know,
that would be cool.
He just like swings
him up, suit him up like an Oliphant.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
bro.
That'd be cool.
Be so cool. Anyways, maybe later. Maybe Varg can craft something
like Battle Cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to check for traps on the office door.
All right. Roll a perception check, please.
Get your not face thievery. Blown off.
You say natural 3?
I said not thievery.
Oh.
Yes, it's perception to search. Okay.
12 on the die. 23.
The door is not trapped. It is also not locked.
Okay. I'm going to open the door.
Here we go.
It looks locked, bro. There's a big lock on the door.
There's a lock.
It's rolling
icon.
Dice over there.
That's just to keep you guys keep from snooping. Out. Yeah.
He's talking about me.
Yeah.
Are you opening the door?
Yes.
You also do not hear anything coming from the other side of the door.
Thank you.
He doesn't care.
Yeah. I'm going I know, in it's here. A barbarian.
I'm right? going in here.
Yeah, we're going.
I don't care.
Is there anyone making noise in here?
Hello? Is anyone hiding in here?
It's almost as good as the figures. Go.
I'm that looking for so secrets.
Now that you're in this space, what you see is a Shield Marshal bullpen out in front of you. This room is filled with desks, normally staffed by Shield Marshal cronies.
Ooh.
It's currently empty. There are 9 desks. The room that this vault door opens onto is 6 squares wide, 6 squares tall, and the corners of the room are cut off in 45-degree angles. So it looks like a reinforced access point. Beyond the desks, there is an office with 2 windows, you see, and it does look as though those windows are designed to look out onto the bullpen and look at the backs of all the workers. There is a name on the office door. Says Angelique Lovelace.
Ooh. Yes. Ding, 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 ding.
Shield Marshal Captain. This is Lovelace's office. There are 2 other office doors in the very back end of the vault that you can't see. As you explore this vault room, you find 2 more offices in the back that have names etched by the door. Skedra, Shield Marshal Lieutenant, and Thorn. Shield Marshal Lieutenant.
Wait, where is that written?
Those are further down in the back of the space.
Okay.
These 2 doors here. You can see them?
Yes, I see one of them.
You can open up the door to Lovelace's office.
Can we peek in the window?
You can peek in the window.
What do we see?
You see...
people?
A very meticulously organized, almost like a showroom of an office with 2 chairs sitting opposite a grand desk with a large... comfortable looking chair.
Can we look for signs for, does she actually use this office or is this like a front? Is there a perception or something I can roll for that?
You can roll a perception check for that.
This seems odd. I only rolled a 22 perception.
It does appear used.
Okay.
It also is meticulously organized to a frightening degree. Not a single line out of place.
So
everything is intentional.
She should absolutely going to know that we're going to be snooping.
Could just be OCD.
I get it. I'm the same way. We got to find the evidences then.
Let's go into the office. You need to start
doing some searching. Mini game time.
Mini game.
You need to roll a society or underworld lore check in order to successfully investigate. Neither of you have accounting or legal lore, right?
How about CPA lore?
If you have CPA lore, that would definitely... be applicable.
I'll have to roll society. My underworld lore is not as high.
Same.
I don't have underworld at all. Go ahead. Go for it.
Can we all, roll on this?
You all can search, and so you would...
I rolled good.
You can search any of these offices, any of the desks. Doesn't matter. You're just looking for materials, and I need a search from everybody who wants to search. If you don't want to search, you can just hear for the ride.
I will search, but I only have +2 to society, so I'm awful.
I rolled a 34 total.
Okay.
31 total.
Okay.
Am I using my perception modifier here?
Nope.
Okay.
Whatever
society
the,
whatever or the
says next to society.
So, yeah, it's going to be a 17 total.
Okay.
8 total.
8 total. All right. So Luton and Kairos fumble a little bit through the paperwork. It's not really their cup of tea, right? They're mystical. They're too worried about the ethereal impacts of the world.
What is this paper crap?
Paper? Ew. But,
dead trees? Yeah. Get out of here.
Varg and Darnayru are a little bit more at home with this. Varg has that analytical mind, and Darnayru, maybe you spent some time helping your dad cook the books back in his merchant days.
And I steal a lot of stuff.
Right. what'd you see? 34?
34.
And a 31?
Mm-hmm.
Both of those rolls are successful. So as you're rifling through one of the desk drawers, Darnayru finds a tattered day log indicating that Angelique Lovelace has met with a wealthy Alkenstar benefactor named Christia Tombend on several occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Tombend is hosting a gathering at her flat in the Grayson's Fingers neighborhood tomorrow.
Ooh.
The day log contains invitations to the event, 4 of them plus 1 animal companion.
How convenient.
Wow. How do you spell Christia?
It's a trap.
Christia is spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A.
Oh, so it does spell like it sounds. Okay.
Do you guys need me to help search for anything while I'm in here? And I don't know how you guys got down here.
How did you get down here?
How did you get down here?
I've been down here for like 3 days looking for dirt on Angelique Lovelace. Tombend is T-O-M-B-E-N-D. I'm going to go now, unless you guys find the next clue. The next clue's really bad. I'm going to stick around.
Sweet, because it's hard to spell.
Yeah.
Wait, so we found her name. She's wealthy, and she's been meeting with Lovelace regularly. She has a party tomorrow?
She has a party tomorrow.
Party tomorrow.
She's hosting a gathering, like some fundraising gathering. She's some wealthy debutante type person, and Angelique Lovelace has been meeting with her regularly.
This party invite only?
Yes, and there are invitations in the logbook.
For us?
No.
Oh, I thought he was...
I was being facetious about the plus one animal companion, because I don't expect you're going to leave him on the street, tied up to a kitchen post.
Just leave my horse outside.
Varg, while rifling through a cabinet full of files, finds an auspicious newspaper clipping. This is in Lovelace's office, and it stands out among her things. According to the article, a local river merchant named Rangiel Foruza.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, does... I don't even know why I keep doing this bit. these Pathfinder names is ridiculous.
They're great.
Rangel, R-H. Yeah, you didn't see that H coming,
no,
did you?
I did not.
Yeah. R-H-A-N-G-Y-L.
For the record, I spell things phonetically going forward from now on.
Foruza. F-O-R-U-Z-A.
River merchant?
River merchant. He was captured by the shield marshals and is scheduled for a public hanging in 2 days' time. And for some reason, Lovelace has this almost like a trophy displayed in her office.
Hmm.
Like a newspaper clipping that it's out of place.
For what crime?
Doesn't say.
Oh.
Just says public hanging in 2 days.
That's right.
Wow. Okay. So we have a party to go to tomorrow, and we got a public hanging to...
the day after that.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full busy schedule, full calendar.
I also need you all to roll a perception check as you spend a searching activity round in encounter mode.
19 total.
That makes 2 of us, 19 total.
18 for me. I rolled a natty 4.
Come on, Varg.
Natty 1.
Are you serious?
With your AI die.
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
How'd you do with your roll again?
More than 19. A 1.
Total.
Well, thankfully, the DC was 19.
Oh! Sketchy.
So the two 19s, you guys both hear the sound of loud footsteps echoing from the...
hallway behind the office?
No.
Oh.
You guys, sometimes you got to let me get it out.
Sorry, I'm stressed out. You can't leave me on a cliffy like that.
from the stagecoach hall.
Oh no,
hall,
that's you worse.
Hear heel strikes, pop, 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 oh. Like, and like significant amount of them. A higher perception roll would have told you how many footsteps you hear, but it is a group of footsteps, and you hear some murmured voices as well, and you can pick out a couple of key words in the hubbub. 14 and Loveless are the things that you hear.
They're
at your office number.
Right? Yeah, they're after that's the vault. Where we're at.
We need to get out of here.
You get the impression that they're on their way in to your space.
Let's hide in the office.
We need to. That's where they're going. We need to go behind the office, down the hallway.
Yeah, down that hallway on the left.
Darnayru,
that's what the game wants you to do.
I know. And he, being a sneaky guy, has already walked down the hallway and around the corner.
Sneaky guy, you're running.
Do you want to continue searching?
In the office?
Throughout this vault to find any more leads.
You said they're like walking in the door.
No, I said they're out in the stagecoach area.
Oh, you made it sound like they're walking in the door right now.
No.
Oh, then...
I apologize. Ooh. They're definitely not walking in the door right now, or else I would have said, at the door you see several things. But I didn't.
Can we lock the door?
Ooh.
Can I run up there and lock the door?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, I just shut it on roll 20.
How do you, outstanding work.
How do you lock it? How are you going to lock it?
I would like to bar it with something we have in our bag.
All right, roll a thievery check.
Please, can I aid?
Please aid me.
Yes, you can. For a hastily locked door.
16. It's going to be harder. Oh, that's an aid.
Yeah.
Plus one.
I'd like to aid, too.
Greg's fist pump shook my whole house, so I'm assuming it was a good roll.
I mean, it was close. You only got to have a plus two to thievery. What's your thievery?
Plus one.
Yes.
He rolled a 14.
16 total is not.
Hey. Yes, that's
he
good.
Rolled a 14. He has a plus one?
No.
Total he rolled, yeah, he's a total. All right, 14.
So another plus one from Luton.
Okay. Thievery so roll.
Add plus two to this roll, Greg. I thought you already rolled it.
No, cheater. I had rolled it. You're supposed to roll aids before you roll the thing. How many are you adding?
Two.
So I only rolled 23, and that's not good because this is probably hard.
You grab into the bag of holding for
sweep up
stuff that you can maybe wedge against the door, and you pull out like some
stuffed
old
animals.
Old swords and other crap that you haven't sold or that merchants didn't want.
Yeah.
And you cram it into the door jamb and try to do your best to wedge the door closed.
Okay.
That's unfortunate. Okay.
I think we should keep searching.
Well,
I say we risk it.
Risk it?
Yeah.
That's because you want to chop someone's head
off.
Yes,
I do.
All right, one more search round then. All
right. Are you feeling Vargy?
He's I'm feeling Vargy.
I'm nervous about it.
He's already over driving kinflips.
It's Vargin time.
Okay, so we just roll another perception to check again?
If you're searching again, everybody roll a society or a underworld lore check. You can. There's documentation everywhere, so you don't need to roll a perception check. It's more about like interpreting what you see.
21 total.
24.
26 total.
11 total.
Okay. A frustrating round of searching.
Yeah.
As Luton, Darnayru, and Kairos sifting through things, you find a lot of receipts, a lot of entry logs and reports for patrols. And then Varg says,
I got something. Well, what about this here? This looks important.
Loveless's minions have been searching for a cattle rustler. It goes by the name of Dash.
I'm not going to help. If you can't figure out that one.
A known associate of the aforementioned Rangil Foruza. So far, however, the Shield Marshals have not been able to find the elusive rancher. So they are under orders by Loveless to find Dash, who is a cattle rustler and a known associate of the man who is set up to be hung in public in 2 days.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Clockwork cattle?
That was my question.
Two-headed cows.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Fallout.
With no hair.
No hair.
Two-headed hairless cows.
So gross.
What is it? Isn't it only like a couple weeks?
June.
No, I thought it was April.
Oh, wait, no.
It's
June
next
is,
month, isn't it?
June is
yeah,
Deadpool.
It's next month.
Yeah, Fallout is next month.
All episodes on day one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it when they
no,
do that.
They're doing all episodes at once. Yes, it was on the last ad. Okay, moving on.
Watch party.
The footsteps and voices grow a little louder, but they haven't reached the door yet.
Oh, man.
And you get the impression that there is a leader, a single voice that is rising above the group, but there are clarifying questions being asked by this group. That's the tone. Can't yet hear the subject, but what you're getting is questions and answers, questions and answers, and all the answers are coming from one male voice. But they are not at the door yet.
Ooh, I wonder if that's the guy who's going to be hung.
No way. He would be just... Oh, maybe.
Just wandering around?
Not...
In the... There's no jail cells down
okay,
here.
Okay, okay, okay.
Good question.
Maybe they apprehended him.
I don't want you to get... I mean, that's maybe being a bad GM. Yeah, go ahead. Go... Squirrel.
Can I...
Go down that rabbit trail.
Could I place Varg, like, hidden up in the corner, like, prepared to make a surprise strike?
You can place your characters wherever you'd like. Varg doesn't sound like you guys are getting out of this without a fight. So. Right.
It doesn't sound like he's looking for a fight. I was hoping to go down and check out the other rooms. Hide in there.
You guys have been checking out those rooms this whole time.
Oh, the southern rooms?
As part of this search activity. Yeah. This isn't in initiative order or anything. This has all been just a general activity. Yeah.
Okay, so we've been checking out the other offices.
Yes.
I was just thinking that's where we would hide, but Varg wants to hit him head on.
Yeah, I do.
Varg, do you think we are not able to escape a fight here?
Be ready to fight. It's coming our way.
They feel like they're a round away. You may have a little bit more time to search.
Okay, then
Can we rig a trap?
You can, for sure.
Mr. Inventor, I'm going to search one more time while he's doing that. 26 total.
Okay. 26 total. Is anyone else searching?
Yeah, I'll search too. Let me, are we still using that?
Society.
It's either society or underworld.
16 total.
Okay. Looks like Luton and Varg are gearing up for a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Darnayru, as you're continuing to dig through the last remnants of stuff, you don't find any new useful information.
Bummer. Okay.
What kind of traps can I set?
What do you have in your little inventor kit? Don't you have some traps that you... Because you can create... gadgets.
I can, but I haven't spent time creating them. The only thing I have that's ready to go wouldn't do much for this fight.
You could jimmy-rig a net launcher on top of the desk.
It's kind of what I was thinking.
If you want.
So I have a net launcher ready to go. Maybe I could like tie it to the door with some rope or something so that it engages when it opens.
We can do that. We can put that together.
Let's do that.
We'll improvise that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would
roll crafting.
I would need a crafting check.
Yeah. Crafting. Got a natty 18.
Uh-oh.
That's a nice. 36.
36 crafting.
Sing it to me.
Love that song.
Even if I made this very hard, that would have been a success.
Yeah.
In fact, it would have been a success at incredibly hard, because that would have been a 34. So you critically succeed at setting this trap up, and you feel confident that the net launcher will fire at whoever goes through that door first.
Varg slides a desk in front of the door, puts his net launcher on top, and then rigs this strand of twine or something to the doorknob, and he kind of flicks the string, boom, just making sure it's taut.
And
no
one
step on this.
Obviously. As you're setting that up, and as you get the last bit of it going on that closest desk to the door, you hear a gruff-sounding voice say,
"Oh, there's something blocking the door. That's not right. Hold on a second."
And he puts his shoulder into it, and we'll find out what happens next week.
Wow,
pause.
That went by too fast.
I gotta end them sometimes, guys. I'm sorry.
No, you don't, though. We could just keep going forever.
What's gonna happen? Inside the vault.
We're gonna
Someone's
catch it.
Gonna be inside a net.
Somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
Is to it begin
with. A hairnet.
I know you're doing a lot of voices, but is that voice purposely sounding like Wilbur?
It does sound like Wilbur.
That wasn't Wilbur.
I don't want it to be Wilbur. If he's a double agent, I'll be sad.
It's gonna be hilarious when we trap the good guys.
I only have so much range.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's like desperate.
Do better.
Yeah.
Learn more voices.
Sorry.
See you next time.
See you next
time. More voices.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and/or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.